everyone. My name is Rochelle Innocent, and I'm the founder and CEO of Project Purpose. Welcome to our channel. Our community is focused on fostering the intellectual and character development in children. We do this through our parent-child workshops that are focused on four themes: autonomy, self-efficacy, compassion, and self-concept, in order to cultivate grit, perseverance, and resilience in each child. And we are so thrilled to be offering one of the first of its kind digital, virtual, and continuous learning environments, enabling parents and children to connect from all around the world. At Project Purpose, our overarching mandate is to renew and rebuild family, community, and relationships. Our different social media platforms provide us with an opportunity to have discussions and to create space for all topics that relate to family, community, and relationships with ourselves as well as with others, with a primary focus on mental health and education. More precisely, the ways that the institutions of mental health and education play a role and have played a role in our societies at large. These discussions and debates provide us with an opportunity to think critically about what needs to change within these structures for us to live up to our bold slogan, support, protect, and empower each child through youth-focused development, better known as leadership in juvenescence. We recognize that in valuing our children's leadership potential, this also translates as recreating and co-creating environments, both socially and politically, that will enable our children to thrive. For those of you who are particularly keen on the topic, we also write thought pieces every other Sunday. We actually have a thought piece scheduled to drop this upcoming Sunday, so definitely be sure to meander over to the website and check out our online content. Now, if it is the case that you are looking for a listening alternative, well, we're available wherever podcasts are playing, and we've provided you with access to a few links down below. Now, as is the convention, be sure to subscribe, hit that post notification bell so that you are aware of every time we post. And of course, if you like these conversations and you want to keep them going, like, comment, and share this segment. Let's get into it. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another segment here on Project Purpose. For those of you who are new, we cover topics that relate to mental health, mental wellness, and education on a week-by-week basis. And today's topic of discussion is mental health. And the conversation on mental health, we're going to be talking about safety as it relates to going no contact. So it's been now 4 years since I put together my safety plan when I decided to go no contact with my family and a lot of the communities that were part of my life, my day-to-day life, in a very big way. And it gives me an opportunity to reflect and to think back at some of the decision-making and some of the consequences and the ramifications and also some of the rationalizations and justifications for those decisions. And I think that is important to have this conversation so that for those of you who are thinking about going no contact, to recognize that it creates a lot of ripples, it creates a lot of waves, and it also leaves you very vulnerable, right? Because there's going to be definitely backlash. There's going to be backlash, especially for going no contact with someone who's abusive, who has a narcissistic profile, who's going to go into a narcissistic rage and even risk hurting themselves in order to have the opportunity to really inflict injury on you if they really believe that this is it, that you're going no contact. And that was the situation that I was dealing with. And I think now, 4 years down the road, when things are starting to feel a little bit less chaotic, I had to think about just some of the consequences of those choices, which were, in retrospect, the right choices, but how that can make me seem a little bit heartless in retrospect. Because I think what happens is when you are going no contact with people who have prestige, a certain level of prestige, a certain level of credibility, they have professional credibility, and they're using and abusing that professional credibility to really denounce you and to try to get ahead of the story and build their narrative around what took place that caused certain ripple effects that put you in a negative spotlight. You can feed that energy, you can try to protest and try to speak against it, but there's a time and place. And I find that when you go no contact, the best way to minimize the damage that can come out of going no contact is to give it no energy at all. And I think that it can be really hard to do because you have to be really unapologetic about prioritizing your safety, and anything you say can and will be used to your detriment, right? Because now it's a full-on attack. And so it's important that you recognize that there is a time and a place to confront
affirm
and or deny in this public sphere as it relates to public perception. But I think in that period where you're really figuring out, well, hey, is this an opportunity for me to speak up, for me to speak out, or is this an opportunity for me to, in the background, get my ducks in a row, get the legal advice that I need, which is what I was doing, get the legal support that I need, which is what I was doing, get the supporting documentation that I need to make sure that I have protected and covered myself, where it really counts. And a lot of the times when it comes to rumors or in smear campaigns, and when it comes to the vicious things that people say and that they feel compelled and empowered to circulate very boldly, very brazenly, you're not going to hold them accountable in the public arena. You're going to hold them accountable legally. You're going to hold them accountable in the specific domains that those claims can be negated in. And so when I went no contact, that was what I was doing. I had the support of my friend who is a lawyer and who had a background and had her own personal history of abuse. So I knew she would understand what it was that I was going through, some of the dynamics that I was dealing with, and even choosing her to support me was a very conscious, eyes wide open decision, because I knew that a lot of what she was going to hear were going to be competing narratives, and I had to trust that she could hold the line while I got my ducks in a row, because I knew it was going to create massive waves. And what I also recognized, while keeping as much as I could by way of my next move and my game plan like very close to my chest, are some of the people who are hearing now the smearing, the rumor spreading that was going to be used to try to protect my abusers at the time, protect them from the narrative that was coming out, the truth that was coming out about the abuse that I had survived and was surviving. You recognize who is really swayed and who isn't. You start to see the people for who they are and why they are in your life. And I think that that's why it's a really very important move when it comes to dealing with going no contact, to have a period where you go no contact and no confirmation, no denial. So you go no contact and there's no response either, because you get to see who's really in your corner and who isn't. And for those people who quickly jump on the bandwagon that is going to be created with a narcissistic raid when someone is on the defensive and really going out of their way to build a narrative around you that is ugly, people who quickly jump onto that bandwagon were people who are looking for an opportunity to do so. So when you think about your safety, when you feel inclined to trust, confide, speak about what it is that you're going through, when you're going through a no contact situation that has high stakes involved, where they're putting your mental health into question, they're putting your intellectual aptitude into question, your professional aptitude, like all of the spheres that make it so that you can lead a highly independent, full life, if those are the areas that they're attacking, those arenas that they're attacking, then it's in those arenas that you negate those attacks and that you hold them accountable for their false claims, especially if they're using their professional background to make those false claims. But any person you bring into that conversation that doesn't need to be part of that conversation, you now have given them an opportunity to buy in. And the less people who buy in to whether or not those claims are true or false, the more you increase your probability of coming out of that situation in a position to defend yourself appropriately. And I think that it's really important that you recognize that you never know who's in your corner until a specific situation comes up that tells you who is and who isn't. And when it is the case that like a lot is on the line, that is not the time or the place where you want to figure out, where you want to, you know, take a gamble and see like who's in your corner and who isn't. If you weren't sure before, then take that time to not respond, to see like whose side people are on, and then manage that accordingly. But I think what happens with that, when you're trying to do your best to make sure that you're safe, which means just being quiet, you're not responding, you're not giving any confirmation or denial of the rumors that are taking place, you're kind of just letting people decide on their own, then you can hurt people's feelings too. Because what I recognize now, 4 years in retrospect, that there are people who are truly in my corner who I had to completely just cut out because I recognized that there was a risk involved in confiding in them at that point in time, because they were hearing so many different stories. Even if they would have believed me, the risk of them not believing me and then taking my own story and then twisting that, or having it twisted, or having them manipulated and having that being used against me, was just too high. The stakes were too high for me to take that risk. So it costs friendships. So it costs real friendships, but it also costs fake friendships. And I think that sometimes when you're dealing with the negative waves that come with going no contact and you're breaking toxic ties, toxic connections, there's going to be casualties involved in that. There's going to be healthy connections that get swept into the riptide because of that, because you couldn't take the risk of confiding in the people who were ready to be confided in, who were ready to be in your corner, but it was just too risky because of the legal ramifications, because of the claims that were going about, they were really serious, and I felt much more confident in only having support with people who were professionally able to provide me the support and the guidance and the advice that was required for me to maintain the line than for me to find, you know, build fuel into the fire. And it's interesting because I went no contact in 2020 in the heart of the pandemic, and I didn't actually speak on my story until last year. So it took 3 years after me going no contact to really talk about what took place there. And even then, like when we think about like legally and when you think about like all of the different steps that need to be taken in order to properly hold someone accountable, like I wasn't even halfway, not even close to being like completely in the clear by way of making sure that everything was in place. It took me 3 years to feel confident enough to even come on my platform and speak up about the abuse that was taking place. And I think that for those of you who are going no contact, safety is key. Safety is paramount. And part of how you establish safety is giving yourself the opportunity to gauge the cost of going no contact. And when I say the gauge part, I mean the gauge by way of the impact that that's going to have on your community, on the people that you call friends, how that's going to have an impact on the people that you call friends and the people that you hold close to you, depending on to what extent your lives are intertwined with the person or the people who have been abusive towards you. And I don't think I recognized the stakes, right? I didn't recognize to what extent my community, my life, the people that I had in my life at the time was going to be completely twist turned upside down. But now, 4 years later, I don't have any regrets, right? I don't have any regrets, but I am cognizant of the fact that not everyone that I no longer speak to, like there are people who I no longer speak to now, were involved in the smearing campaign, right? And that there are people who are actively involved in the smearing campaign for sure. That comes when you go no contact and you're dealing with people who, you know, their egos are hurt, their egos are bruised, and because they've gone and boldly spoken against you and spoken lies and spoken all of these things, these false allegations that they don't want to be held accountable for, they're like doubling down on those things. And at this point, you know, they've really dug their own grave in that situation. But I think for those who were confused and who were willing to hear my side before they picked a side, and who didn't get that chance, because I wasn't going to take that chance when it came to just the risk that I felt it had on my overall sense of safety, because of the, again, the credibility of the people who are speaking, their professional and their established credibility, their own personal social capital, and just the scenario, all of the elements that were involved at the time, I just felt like it was the safest thing for me to do, to say nothing and to just make us create as much distance between me and those individuals as possible. I knew that there were casualties there, like, so not everyone that I no longer speak to now were people who were actively involved in the smear campaign or actively involved in abuse, but that friendship was a cost associated because of the strategy that I took, because the strategy that I took was really the best way to minimize any potential of me communicating something that would get misinterpreted, that could get manipulated into being something that it was not. And so all of that to say, if you're thinking about going no contact, I think you need to recognize that when you go no contact, there's going to be a period of time where the best way to respond is no response. And that's in the public arena, right? That's like for all the people who want to know what's going on, but they don't have a role to play in making sure that you're safe. They just want to know for their own reasons or for their own curiosity's sake. Like if there are no stakes in them knowing and not knowing, it's better to just take the time to not confirm, to not deny, while you get your ducks in a row by way of, you know, whatever that means, if you need to see the doctor, like whatever that means, just to make sure you get a clean bill of health. If that means that you need to go the legal route and you need to do your paperwork, you need to make sure, like a lot of what we fail to recognize is how things are handled in the public arena and in social media. It's not how things are actually handled and how things are dealt with in the practical sense when you're looking to hold people accountable. Like holding people accountable isn't getting them canceled in the real world. I mean, I'm sure that that is a consequence to someone who is a big social media star for sure, but I think that to cancel someone in real life, I mean, that's something that has a social impact but doesn't have the same weight by way of, you know, making a legal claim against defamatory remarks or libel, or, you know, talking about how these claims and these lies like impact someone's ability to work. Like these are things that you deal with in the legal arena, and in the legal arena you have to be very mindful about what you say, when you say it, and who you're saying it to. And so it was the right choice as part of my own safety plan and making sure that I came out of that minimizing the injury and the impact that I was already hit with as much as possible, right? So I think that safety is priority. And when you think about safety and going no contact, there's a certain level of selfishness, right? You need to be very self-aware. You need to be very cognizant of like when the only consequence is someone's hurt feelings, when the consequences that you are potentially dealing with as possible outcomes of this conversation could be way worse than hurt feelings. So it's important to talk about just the impact of going no contact and the fact that it's going to mean feeling apologetic, but then not being apologetic at all, because you need to do what you need to do in order to stay safe, and that means that there are real friendships that end up being casualties as a result of your silence, and that is the cost of coming out as unscathed as possible when it comes to dealing with going no contact. And so that's the conversation I want to have here, just a quick conversation around mental health and going no contact and some of the things that you need to keep in mind when it comes to how that's going to change and shift your communities, the people that you talk to on a day-to-day basis, and even your outlook and your mindset about what survival looks like. And survival was this real theoretical, philosophical, abstract idea until I really was put in a situation where it was a fight for my life the way that I knew it, right? A fight for the freedom that I didn't want to compromise and have jeopardized, but that was also being called into question. And I recognize that when survival is a tangible thing that you're acting on a day-to-day basis, it means you need to make a lot of decisions that a lot of people are not going to understand. And they feel like selfish decisions, but the kind of decisions that you have to make to come out okay and on the other side of those tricky situations. So that's what I wanted to come on here and talk about. Hopefully food for thought for you. If you're thinking about going no contact, you need to recognize that your safety comes first. And if your safety is something that you are able to maintain by being very selective in who you speak to, and then deciding that for the people who don't have a role to play in actively maintaining your safety, that you don't speak to them at all for at least a period of time, that makes it so that the dust is settling and people aren't so hot or cold about the issue. It's kind of the rumor mill has kind of gone on to other things, then that's the right strategy for you. But it's an important conversation to have, because it was a difficult decision to make. It was a lot of difficult decisions to make, and now 4 years later I'm thinking about those decisions and I'm thinking about where I am now, and I'm so happy that I made those tough calls, right? And even if it meant hurt feelings, at the end of the day, I mean, there are going to be, at the end of the day, sometimes you need to make the tough calls in order to make the hardest thing that you can do is do what's best for you. And hopefully the people who wanted to help were in a position to, they understand that. In any case, that was the conversation for today. That was it, but definitely not all. Now before letting you go, I would be remiss if I didn't let you know that we will be going live at least twice a month, every month for the foreseeable future, on our Facebook page. So definitely be sure to tune in. Now these events are paid events, so if you do see yourself participating in our community on an ongoing basis, then I do suggest that you take a look at one of our package plans. Yes, we do offer package plans over and above our live events, as well as access to webinars and workshops largely focused on self-mastery over and above those events. So check it out, be part of our game changer community, being part of the change that you want to see, allowing us to be a small role to play in your journey. If you're on the road to 100K, we do invite you to follow us across all of our social media platforms, and of course chat with all of you very soon. We'll talk to you later.
Like no one's listening. Some days I just feel like the world's into me. Some days I'm so paranoid. I'm stronger now, I found my voice. Keeps my heart beating. Feet off the ground, I'm sick of coming down to earth.